Well, I'm going to do part two of Possessing the Land, and today is whose report will you believe? You know, we're living in the informational age or the digital age, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, we have access to information that faster than any other generation's ever had. I mean, there's some of us that are in my category that, some of the information we get almost instantly, it would have been a week or two before we would get all of that information. How many are in that territory with me? Know what I'm talking about? You know, with the advent of so much information, it has two areas. It can be positive and it can be negative at the same time. It's positive because we can know more and this helps us to accomplish more. But negatively, we get inundated with so much information, and sometimes it's difficult to tell what is fraudulent and not true and what is true. If you, how many of you are on Facebook? Quite a few of you. Have you ever noticed that it's gotten to where you don't know whether to believe what they're putting on there or not? Hello? Because it's, see, but the Apostle Paul quotes the Isaiah the prophet, and here in Romans 10:14-17. He asked a question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings of good things. But they are not all, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, you all know it. Probably got it marked in your Bible. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, he concludes this whole thing, even the questions that he asked, he concludes the whole thing saying that when they hear the report of the Lord, then faith will come. Is that not what it says? Is not the word of God a good report? Amen. So, you know, now, the challenge for us today is to make sure we hear the truth. And not just what somebody is preaching. See, there's a lot of people saying a lot of things, but is it the truth of God's word? There's a lot of information that's being given out. But is it really what God says, or is it somebody putting a twist on what God said? Now, I know you're getting awful quiet on me here, but hey, it's the truth. It goes back to we're being bombarded with information from Christian television. And I was listening to some just the other day, and it wasn't exactly in line with the word of God. Have any of you been listening to Christian television and all of a sudden realized that what was being said wasn't really in line with the word of God? Especially when it comes to some of these ultra prosperity situations, they're taking scripture out of context and trying to make it a money scripture. You know, I get a little disgusted at that. I switch channels. I don't watch that mess. You should too. Just like we've told people to turn stuff off on the TV when it's not good, when it's not good stuff. You ought to do the same thing on when you're watching Christian television. When it's not good, You don't feed on it, because the devil can take it and use it against you. Hello. You know, in the Bible, we can see, especially with the children of Israel, they had an opportunity to choose the report that they believed. Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. And they went in there just to see how they could take the land, not to see if they could take the land. Here, you know, Moses realized this, and he'd said this long ago, God wants us to take this land. It's our land. He, you know, God had spoken to him numerous of times, and he had spoken it to the Israel, and he had repeatedly told the Israelites, God has given you the promised land. So he sent the 12 spies into the promised land just to see what it was like. You know, and go to Numbers 13. And we'll stay in that area. So you go to Numbers 13, we'll probably stay there most of the time. Starting with the first verse. And the Lord spoke to Moses, said, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, each one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord. All them that the men that went were heads of the children of Israel. Now he told them to spy out the land, not to see whether they could possess it or not. That question, as far as Moses was concerned, was already settled. And it should have been with them. Now look at verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way to the south and go up into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell there in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests or not. Be of good courage. Right there he's telling them, hey, stay in faith. And bring some fruit of the land. Now the time was the season for the first ripe grapes. Now, be of good courage is very important as he spoke to them. See, they were to spy out the land with a courageous attitude. Now, that means they were to check everything out through the eye of faith. See, they should have looked at everything in the light that God had said, I'm already going to give you this land. As far as they were concerned, they should have had, this already belongs to us. We're just seeing what we're going to have to do to get rid of these people. Hello. That's exactly what they should have been. See, if they went into the promised land with the wrong attitude, they would look at it wrongly. If they would be discouraged, the people would tend only to see the problem. Encouraged people tend to believe God. See, with God, all things are possible. Now look at verse 20. And he said, bring some of the fruit from the land. Moses actually was expecting these men to come back with the report, hey, God has given us this land. We can take it. Now here's what's over there. But don't worry about it. We're going to be all right because God has said so. He didn't tell the spies to evaluate whether they could possess the land or not. See, to Moses, it was already a done deal. And it should have been for them. See, because God has spoken to Moses many times, and many times he had told it to the people. See, they should have believed it already. because of the way God had taken care of them, getting them out of Egypt, taking them through everything that he had taken them through. That same God that delivered them miraculously from Egypt was the same God that said, I'm going to give you the promised land. Now, how hard is it to say, all right, this God said that he's going to give us the promised land. Now, this is the same God that brought us out of bondage, that is taking care of us and giving us food and water and everything else. How hard is it not to believe that you're going to get the promised land? Because he said he's already given it to you. Come on. But you see, Paul says that the things that was written back in the Old Testament was written for examples for us. This is an example for us to learn how to take our promised land. You see, the promised land is a type of our salvation, living down here. Some people say, the promised land's heaven. No, it ain't. It can't be heaven because there ain't no battles to fight in heaven. And how many of you having to fight the enemy down here? We have to possess the land. Although God said it was ours, just like God told the children of Israel, the promised land was there. They had to go in and take it. Come on. See? Now, you can choose to focus on the grapes or the giants. The 12 tribes checked out the promised land. They came back with a report. Now, 10 of them reported, oh, man, there are good things in that land. But there's a huge problem. It's impossible for us to take the land. They went against what God said right there. God had already said, I'm giving you the land. Now they're saying we can't take the land. They weren't going to have to take it. God was going to give it to them, but they got to go possess it. Hello. Now, here is a dollar bill right there. I give that to you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, how hard? Kayla, how hard was it for Kayla to get that dollar bill? I said I give it to you, didn't I? And I put it there. Any one of the rest of you, if you'd have had enough intestinal fortitude to get up and walk down here, you could have gotten that. See, are you getting a hold of what I'm trying to get a hold across to you? God has said it. Now we have to go and take it. Now there wasn't nobody there stopping her from getting that, but the enemy is out there trying to stop you from getting what God said belongs to you. That's what was happening in the promised land. That's an example of what's going to happen to us. So we have to learn how to take the land. Our promised land. Right? Now, look at this. Look at this. In Numbers 13, 26 through 29. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. It's what God said it was. They're saying there, this is what God said it was. Nevertheless, you know, when you add, sometimes when you say something and then you put but there, you nullify everything that you said in front of it. I know God can meet my need, but you don't know my problem. You just nullified that what you said first. Nevertheless, sort of does the same thing. It's actually, you could say, instead of nevertheless, but the people. Now they're saying, hey, it's what God said it is, but the people who dwell in land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. You know, sometimes our greatest enemies to us receiving what God said belongs to us are our fellow church members. You may have heard this one. Yes, it's possible, but you have to face the facts. Often what they mean by that, they're saying, hey, is that they don't believe God. They don't believe that you can have what God says you can have. Maybe it would be a better way to say it. Now, let's look. A 12 spies went. That's 10. Now look at two spies, Joshua and Caleb. Let's look at their report. It was completely different. They said, Numbers 13:30, because the people now got all upset. So Caleb quieted the people and told them, shut up and be quiet. Well, that's getting down to our language. And said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. They didn't deny the problem. They knew the facts existed. But they believed the greater facts of God's word. God had said, I'm going to give you the land. See, what we need to do, we got to recognize the fact. There's nothing wrong with recognizing the fact. But then you got to realize that you got to arm yourself with the greater fact. And that is the fact that God's word said it. Hello? If you don't have any money in your pocket, but a few strings, then you arm yourself with the greater facts. God will supply my needs. That's what you put in your pocket. And you keep believing that and saying it until you got the money. Hello? That's what that Joshua and Caleb, they saw everything that the other guys saw, but their report was different because of what they believed. What they believed. You know, everything you see on this campus, I don't know, I think there's 110 acres, or the, give or takes a few. And I keep saying there's 17 buildings, and I think Kurt come up with, I forgot how many Kurt come up with. He was giving me a list of them, of all the buildings that we have to take care of. There's a whole lot more than 17. You know, but it was all here. It's all here because of believing God. See, we had outgrew the place we were started, Ramah. And God said, you need to move. Well, in the natural, we knew we needed to move. And he said he would provide. And we started out with that building on the corner and half of the building behind it and 6 acres. June of 1976. That's where we were. And this, right beside of that, the terrain of this thing has changed, but there used to be, this used to be a little bit higher hill, and there's a wall down there beside of that building on the corner. And this particular piece of property became available. And we knew that the Lord said to get it. Was the finances readily available? No. But as we were praying, God said, get it. So we went after it, and we got it. Now, we took the one step and bought this 50 acres right around here. All of the other property that we own, we did not go after it. They came to us, presenting it to us. See, when you take one step with what God tells you to do, He will start bringing you everything else you're going to need. I didn't know we was going to need all this. You know. I mean, over there on the other side of the railroad tracks where we got the storage and all of that, that was a builder square. Sutherland's. And they came to me. The president came to me and he said, listen, he said, we need to move, but we got to build. We want to move out here. They're not here anymore, but they built and moved out there at 161st and the expressway. But said, we can't afford to build and still have this property. And we would like to offer you a deal. And man, they offered me a deal that couldn't be passed up. Now, you know, once again, was the finances all there? No. But when God starts bringing you some, you have to start believing what He says. And it just came like this. The whole thing came like this. Everything except that first 6 acres and this next 50, everything else that is Rhema, we didn't go, and this was a blank piece of property. And that down there was in receivership. That's when I got the everything else. I didn't go ask for it. It came to me because we believed God and started possessing the land. You need to believe God and start possessing the land. But you do it in good business, with good business sense. I'm not telling you I didn't use good business sense when I did this. See, I don't know how many people I see praying to get out of debt, and they continue to go in debt. If you're going to pray and ask God to get you out of debt, in the natural you got to do some things. How many understand what I'm talking to you about? You know, God expects you to do some things in the natural. You do what you need to do in the natural and believe Him and He'll take care of it. But if you keep on going in debt, I better get off of that. See, we believe that we could accomplish what's been accomplished. See, the devil will make sure that there's all kinds of reasons, and he'll throw every kind of obstacle in your way to keep you from getting, see, what God says He wants you to have. And to make this story really more interesting, this church is sitting on a place where a young man that had gotten saved in the 30s in a revival meeting here in Broken Arrow, this was his family farm. And he would come and pray in the pasture on a rock right around this area right in here. I think it's right around here because that's the street out there. Right around in, about, I think it would be probably about where that camera stand is, or a little bit some maybe in front of him. And the Lord told him that from this place, they would go out ministers all over the world. That was in the 1930s. Are ministers going out from this place all over the world? Hallelujah. See, it's up to you whether you focus on the problems or the giants, we might call them, or whether you focus on the promises of God, the grapes. See, it's giants or grapes. You either take one or the other. You don't have both of them. Hello. See, the 10 spies gave a bad report. We can't take the land. They chose to focus on the problems, the giants, instead of the grapes. The biggest problem with the 10 was they allowed what they saw to dictate what they believed. See, only two of the spies believed they could take the land. They did not allow what they saw to dictate their belief. They only allowed what God said to dictate how they believed. See, so many times we see certain things, and because of that, our faith gets weak and we believe the wrong report. Now go to Romans. Well, you don't have to turn there. I'm just saying you can go there and look in Romans with Abraham. God told him, I'm going to make you the father of many, and he didn't have any. And for at least 17 years, he said, I'm Abraham, which means the father of many, and he didn't have any. Okay? Now the report said, my body's beyond childbearing. My wife's body's beyond having a child. But he didn't believe that report. He believed the report of the Lord. And it said that he continued to praise God, being made strong in faith. When you believe the report of the Lord and continue to praise God, it strengthens your faith. Joshua and Caleb told the people, he said, listen, don't rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people, for they are bread for us. Their protection is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. You see, they saw and believed what God said. The others saw and believed what they saw. Joshua and Caleb were not moved by the majority opinion. Now, you may end up feeling abandoned because others pull away from you because you start believing God. And they say, well, can't you see? Yeah, I can see, but I know what God said. And then sometimes people that have believed God with you at one time and believed the way you do, they abandon their faith and turn away. I've seen it happen. Then others may ridicule you, say, what in the world you think you're doing anyway? But I want to tell you what, one person who believes the word of God is more powerful than 100 that don't. Come on. Abraham Lincoln made a statement. I do the very best I can. I mean to keep going. If the end brings it out all right, then what is said against me won't matter. If I'm wrong, 10 angels swearing I was right won't make a difference. That's why you don't need to let anybody persuade you out of believing what God said. Because if God said it, then if I believe it and get it, hello. See, a lot of people, you know, some people say, well, I don't know about that salvation. I won't tell you what. I would rather, if I believe it and I'm right, that's good. If they believe it, if they don't believe it and they're wrong, they're in trouble. Hello. See, you've got to come to the point that I believe God. Period. And nobody can take it away from you. I have been told that I'm wrong. I've been told that faith doesn't work. They've written articles against the Kenneth Hagin Ministries. You know what? Somebody asked me, said, well, have you ever read it? Yeah, I've looked at them. I don't pay no attention to them. Because if I'm right and they're wrong, I'm going to end up on the good side. And they're going to end up on the bad side. Listen, you got to make up your mind and you got to get tough hide. I've had everything in the world said about me. But does that change what I believe? No. Because I believe what the Bible says. And what the Bible says is truth. I don't care what anybody else says. And you've got to get to the point that you make up your mind. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And nothing can deter you or turn you aside. Nothing. Now, I didn't say that you wouldn't have marvelous opportunities to turn aside. I didn't say that there wouldn't be a lot of opposition that will come against you, because the minute you make a stand for God, the enemy is going to find out if you really believe what you say you believe. Hello? But you have to stand strong. I want to encourage you today to believe what the Word says. Believe the report of the Word of God. Believe what the Bible says. Go with the Bible. I don't care if everybody else goes the opposite direction. You know, we might come up your mama's probably told you this, you guys anyway. If they jump off the building, are you going to jump off of it too? Anybody ever heard that? Oh, I got a lot of help in here. Hey, you can go with the crowd or you can stand for God. That's in everything we do. Stand with the Word in everything. The area we're living in now, everything seems to be turning against the Word of God. I believe God. Period. God said it. I believe it about every subject. Come on. How many of you have seen the grapes of the promised land? How many of you have had some giants come around? I want to encourage you with me. Let's eat the grapes and defeat the giants. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. Did you get anything out of that this morning? It's probably nothing you hadn't heard before on about faith, but I can tell you, it's a little different, and maybe you got a little different slant on it, but I don't know. I'm getting more strong every day on the fact that we got to believe God's word and stand on God's word no matter what happens, no matter what comes, what doesn't come. whatever happens, we got to stand on God's word and believe God's word. How many of you are with me on that? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the word. We simply try to use an example of your children of Israel, and now we're your children through being adopted into the family, to show us that we need to be the same way and like with Caleb and Joshua and believe the word of the Lord. Thank you, Father, today that we will stand strong and we will believe the report of the Lord and we'll receive our victory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Bow your heads, please, for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity to somebody to find Jesus. Believe the report of the Lord says that you must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or give somebody that knows what it is to live with God, but you know right now that you're not where you're supposed to be, and you need to come back and rededicate your life. Or you're like a lot of people that go to church, but you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand now. Hold it up. Hold it up high. Upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the room. Anybody need Christ? And over here, thank you. Anybody need to rededicate their life? Anybody need to have a no-so experience with God? Upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. Anybody else want to raise their hand? Thank you, Jesus. Another hand over here. Thank you. We appreciate that. Praise the Lord. You're changing your life forever. We also believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here, according to what the Bible says. I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about the Bible. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. How many, is there anybody here that would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? Let me see your hand. Anybody in the room, anywhere. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to come down the front right here. I want to shake hands with you and I want to pray with you like I said I would. If you're afraid to walk down here by yourself, ask somebody there beside of you. They'll walk down here with you. Come on, right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on, right now. Come on, right now. Come on, right now. If you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on, right here. Come on, guys. Come on, man. Right here. Stand here, face me. Praise the Lord. Oh, you come with her. Praise the Lord. Praise, bless you, man. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Just come on. Just come on right now. Right here. Come on. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to come? In the balcony, the ushers help you get down these stairs and get here. Right here. God bless you. Just stand right there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come? This is your opportunity right now. Change your life forever. Praise the Lord. With her. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else coming? Come on now. Just as you are. Now you guys just made a great decision. I got a little book here called New Birth and One in Him. This tells you about salvation. This tells you who you are in Christ. This tells about the Holy Spirit. If I put these books out here and I said I'm going to give them to you, what you got to do to get them? That's right. You got them. They're yours. Everybody going to get them same books in just a minute. I did that as a little exercise. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come to receive. It comes from heaven on high. So I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. I don't care which one. Congregation, I want you to reach your hands out toward them as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that every spiritual need in these lives will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-so experience with you, blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hands down and look at me for just a moment. See Greg over there. I want to ask you to go to that special place of prayer. We call it a prayer room where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Get those books that she got. That same room, on Sunday morning becomes a classroom called Turning Point. And you say, well, what in the world is that? Well, it's just a classroom for a few weeks to help you get your life turned on to God or turned back on for God. That's all it is. I'd like to see you in that next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in that same room. Would you just turn and follow Greg to that place right now? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give him a hand as they go. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about right there. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You got something you want to sing, Rich?
Absolutely. We're gonna see what we're praying for.